Session number 8229.
Mr. Collins, take two.
And the chaplain said, would anyone like to pray for forgiveness for his sins? So there was about 8 of us who went. And in the little back room in that church army hut, I gave myself to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do believe, I will believe, that he brought me through the horror of the war in several ways. And yet I didn't think a lot about it until these things happened. The same as, and I went up the front and I joined the Northamptons, the 1st Battalion, at Albert on the Somme.
Was that during the Battle of the Somme?
Yes, yes, that was the Battle of the Somme was when they had the casualties of 50,000, wasn't it? Yes, well, that was in July. That was in July. Well, I joined them in September, the 1st Battalion. But the Battle of the Somme lasted 6 months, you know, not a day. You see, you was on the Somme all the time. That was the Somme. That was different fronts, you see. That was the Ypres front where different battles were fought. And I went into action from Albert with the 1st Battalion Northamptonshire Regiment. And
what were your impressions when you arrived at the front? Could you describe what you saw and what you thought of it? When you arrived at the front?
In the front line?
Yes.
Well, you see, you go up the front line, you walk so far on the top, then when you get in the danger zone, you go down into the trenches. And it all depends. You see, you get a hot week where you get a lot of fighting, and especially if now the Germans were very, very good at preparing. They always used to prepare, and you make a success of things if you do. And he generally used to drive us back, you see. And you used to have a battle, and sometimes the shoe was on the other foot. You see, it all depends how strong you were, but you've got to be open. You see, you didn't always go over the top. You see, sometimes, as I said before, if they wanted a position, or we wanted a position, we used to shell a lot, you know, bombard them. And then when you think you've got them down under this bombardment, you go over the top, you see, and you'd have these Mills bombs and machine guns, but you couldn't fire a machine gun with your bombs. You see, when some of them bombs, I was a bomber, and well, I could do anything because I'd had so much training. And we used to have a red bomber on your arm. That's how you knew you were a bomber. You have to go to a special course. And you could soon do some damage with it. And then you see you perhaps take a position and hold it. And that's where the fighting used to be the fiercest, when they used to try to take it back. You see, they used to all the time be stretcher bearers, someone wounded. Some of the bravest men in the war were the stretcher bearers, because they had to go and pick these men up, you know, under fire. And I tell you something else as well. These advanced dressing stations, you know, they had heroes, some of those surgeons out there. If a man had his leg half blew off, they used to have to, the stretcher bearers used to try and get him to these here dressing stations, you see, and these surgeons used to work here night and day. But you never used to hear any much about them, had you? You used to save the men from bleeding to death, because the wounds used to be terrible, you know, like they used to, these high-velocity shells, these shrapnel, that used to burst above your head. You used to have to get well under, as you'd get it. And yet, and then you see, you'd have your law. You see, you'd have your law. They couldn't keep it up all the time, but they were very cunning. They were, but they weren't easy, nor weren't we. We used to let them have it, I tell you. And very fierce fight in the Psalm. I left the North Ants. I told you before, didn't I? Now, do you want to hear that now? It was a battle on its own. It was just up front with the Psalm. But the battle of the Psalm was fought that first day in July when the Germans simply mowed them down, you know. Simply mowed the English. Mowed them down. And
did you see any evidence of the tanks when you were at the Somme? I know you weren't in the tanks there yourself. Did you see anything?
That were funny. Now, we was up a place when I was with the North Ants. It was called High Wood. There was High Wood, Trones Wood, and lot, you know, two or three. But you see, they were woods. But you see, the shells, it had been so fierce, shelling, that they'd cut half the trees off. That used to look that comical. We in the front line, and we looked over the top into High Wood. It had to be a fair way off, but there was an old, it looked like a German tank to me, because I got good eyesight then. But it seemed half buried in rubble somehow. But it was out of action anyway. And that was the first sign of tanks. But of course there were rumours about the tanks, but there weren't any English tanks, I don't think, until they came to me and German said, "I'm put you down for the suicide mob," they used to call them, because they were so dangerous, you know. And you see, And I'll give you the description of the Battle of Messines. We had to direct it. But would you like me to start? As I said, that we'd put a name down before, but never heard anything.
You put your name down to join the tank corps, had you?
I know one, the tank. Yes, it was. But they called it the suicide bomb. Because I said Bob, he was a big, smart fellow, he was from Northampton. He was a lovely pulpit teacher, he was. And he was a really splendid fella. He got killed. And, he used to get his cigarette and lovely fella. He used to say to me, "Do you think you'll get through?" I always said yes. And I asked him whether he would. And he said, sometimes we used to wander up to a YMCA, and you get talking. And he were... But now this is another story. I'll come to it as I tell you about Messines. Well, we'd been in terrible fighting, and I tell you, I'd had enough. I'd had enough of the continual murder, and if you like, it wasn't only. I'm continuing with the North Ants now. I've got some more to tell you. Can you?
That's all right. Yes, that's all right.
And I was with the North Ants when we went up in November. There was a lot of water about, and we went up the trenches, up to an easy in water, and stood there for a day and a half in water. The rations used to come up in water as well. And now this, as I say, was a big blunder. They issued us, the major told us, he said, "It's bad up the trenches," he said, "but we got to go." And they issued us with waders up to here. You know, those waders, you couldn't get the water come up. And they were all right. The medical officer come and said they got to be handed in because they encouraged trench feet. You know, we could have murdered him. We had to go up there and put his. We hadn't got these long boots. Just went up in the putties. And you can just imagine what it was like. And when we looked over the top, we went above 50 yards from the Germans. And they were in the same position as we were. Up to the water, and in water. And then I walking about on the top there, trying to get a dry spot. And that just shows you, the fighting route of it. But if you started, they'd retaliate fiercely and cause casualties, which in these conditions were terrible, you see. You get hit when you all got wounds and that. And, but anyway, we survived. We survived. And I was glad enough when I saw the relief, you know, come to relieve us. Now, in leaving Northants, I left Northants, the 1st Battalion, on Christmas morning, 1916. See, I've been with them 4 months, and now it was September. And a sergeant, it was a sergeant bomber, he was a brave man, but he was a man that, he was a sergeant, and he expected too much. But anyway, he used to have about 5 of us, you see, and we used to have to go and, if they were a position we wanted to, they wanted to knock out, or because there was snipers or anything like that, that we used to go and bomb. And I could throw a bomb because when I was a kiddie, I could always knock the pipes down at the feast, anything like that, you know, and a pretty good strong thrower. And I made a good bomber, and I always done what he wanted. But he was a funny man.
Why was he funny? What was strange about him?
I'll tell you now. And one, we was in boat, so we come out at my mate's wood, and we stood there, and I called my name out, you see, with 12 others. 11 mothers, and this here Jam, and he was one of them, it was me, you see, then he come over to me, the sergeant. He said, "Freddie, you're not a-going, are you?" I said, "Of course I'm a-going." He said, "We'll see about that." He said, "You can't go," he said, "you've got all the kid here and that." And, you know, he didn't want to lose me. And he went down to the sergeant major. See, this fellow was a sergeant. He was a sergeant major. And he went to the sergeant major and complained. He said, you see, we're supposed to be picked men for the tank corps, because the tank corps were just coming out, you see, and they wanted someone who had experience and who'd been in it to give them confidence. That was the idea. And the sergeant major said to him, his name was Preedy, and he come from Kettering. When he, of course I don't know, I've never heard or seen him since, whether he got killed or whether he come through. But at any rate, he'd be an old man now if he was alive. Now, and anyway, I was in a bad state myself. I said, "I'm going." He didn't let me have a bit of peace, so it made my life misery for all night. And in the morning, Christmas Day, and we stood outside, 8 or 9 of us, or I just think now 10 perhaps. And we stood there. And up come some big packages, great big boxes. And didn't know what they were. They're plum puddings. for the 1st Battalion Northamptonshire Regiment from the Northampton Wesleyan Chapel. They said, we don't want to, we're not bothered about Plum Pudding, we just want to get away. Oh, it shouldn't have lasted long. But anyway...
When you say you wouldn't have lasted long, do you mean that you might have cracked mentally? It was so awful.
Well...
Did you really feel quite desperate?
When we used to... being in the fields so long, you see, at a time.
What was the worst part of it, do you think?
The worst part of it was the endurance of the bombardment. You see, you get shells fired and that. You see, your trenches are not straight. They're like that, you see. Most of them like that. You didn't only have... the planes used to come over, you know, and come along the planes and fire at you, and that was... I hadn't said anything about the balloons or anything like that. The observation balloons were all round the front for miles, you know, in different places, and these are some of the bravest men you ever see. Am I right? And you're going like this. They're some of the bravest men you ever see in these balloons, because Jerry used to come over in a little cloud or something like that, and he used to sneak like that there, and he'd fire about 3 bullets into those balloons. You see, when they let those balloons up, they're on a wire, like, have you ever seen them? And they let them up, you see, and the observers are there, and they take photographs and all out of different positions of the Germans. Of course, it's very critical that they'd done that. You find out when they were leaving and all that, you're saying that these Germans something like that, you know. And, of course, they had them as well, you know. And these Germans used to have about 3 bullets in them, and then they used black smoke, and they used to burst into flames. The men used to jump out, you know, with parachutes, and you'd see them come down in parachutes. Now, that often happened, I've seen it happen. And when the Germans used to come over, sometimes in the early morning, you'd see about 20 of them. All what they call the Red Baron and all that, in the groups. And they used to look there, and we used to fire at them, you know. They used to have a lot of aircraft guns, but we can never hardly hit one. It looks as if you must hit them. The shells used to burst all around them like that there, and you'd hand. And you see, it's so difficult to judge the distance. But I'd used to fetch one or two down sometimes, and they used to cheer. You could hear these men in trainers, hooray, and that. But there was always something, you know. They were brave men, and they used to fly a lot of these triplanes. That was wings with 3 wings, 1, 2, 3. And they wanted to be good, dog. They were too slow. Oh, Jerry used to, he was master in the air. He was master. Not because they're chaps, they're magnificent, but you see, they had the training. You know very well as Hitler trained a lot before we thought about war. Of course, they were using them.
When you said you were pleased to get out and to go into the tanks, did you think it would be better in
yes.
the tank corps?
Yes, I did.
Why did you think that?
Well, because I know it couldn't be any worse. And when we were in the Northamptons, it seemed to me I used to take advantage. Sometimes I used to come out there and I used to have the church service. Now these, I must give a word of praise for the old parson and the old padres. That was one to each battalion, you see, and they used to, and they would keep the hymn sheets, you know, perfectly. So you're not damaged or anything like that. And on Sunday morning, whatever happened, you had church service. And if you was near the line, you had the fife band. But if you was far away from the front line or wherever you were, you had the brass band, which was beautiful. You hear a military band, you see, when you've been in action, they played the hymn, say, "Praise the Lord, the King of Heaven." You know that's a hymn, do you? And, you know, I couldn't open my mouth. I should have broke down if I had done. I used to think, the mockery of it. And yet, you see, Jesus God brought me through. It was him who said about, it was him who took me from the North Hands because he knew I needed it. You'll excuse me getting full up, but it's that's